Okay, as we mentioned, today is Mission Sunday, meaning that all of our offering that we collect today will be given to the missions that we support in Cambodia and in Guatemala, and we'll be hearing a report both from Cambodia and also from Guatemala. let me get this set up here. First is from Cambodia. We support Daryl, Kyle, and Benjamin Record. And man, I'm trying to get all my toys in one place here. Okay. For those of you who are familiar, Daryl and Kyle. Daryl and Kyle have been ministering in Cambodia for a number of years now. And recently, Daryl has partnered with a doctor from Hong Kong and some leaders, church leaders in Cambodia to open a new seminary for training Christian leaders in Cambodia, and it's called the Trinity Institute of Cambodia, TIC, and he is now the, I think he's the vice president now. They've shifted a few things around the board. He's now the vice president, and he's part of the faculty and administration, and it's a very small university. It's not even a university, a seminary right now. And those six people, as you can see there, are the board of trustees. Their vision is to train up Christian leaders in biblical studies and in church ministry to go out to the various parts of Cambodia. A big burden of theirs is in the area of Christian leadership. Right now there are 14,073 communities in Cambodia. 14,073. However, there are only 2,050 local churches. 14,000 communities, only 2,000 churches. And so what they want to do is get 12,000 more churches to fill those communities. How are they going to do that? Well, this is one of their ideas. They want to get people from all parts of Cambodia to gather in Phnom Penh, I think that's how it's pronounced, and train them in Christian leadership. One part is business. This is a seminar that was held in October. There were 50 people. It was led by a Christian business owner from Singapore. His name is Benjamin Goh. He was a part of the corporate structure in a big company in Singapore. He left it for moral reasons, and he decided he wanted to start a consulting agency, a Christian consulting agency, and so led by him. Anyway, he came and led this seminar that gave them principles of leadership through the Bible. And so the idea is to gather people, teach them how to open a business, open a school based on Christian principles and teaching, and then go back out to their village, to their community, and open a school, open a business, run it through Christian ideals. So that's one of the ministries. Another ministry Daryl is part of is, of course, the Institute. They have since relocated because their original building was on the same floor as a preschool. So there were kids playing, throwing balls, running, screaming, playing with toys right next door to their class. And they realized it wasn't working, so there is a Christian cafe called Gateway Cafe where university students come and meet, and it's kind of a student center on the first floor. But the second floor was vacant, and the owners were praying for someone to come and use the second floor for Bible classes. And so the Trinity Institute was the answer to their prayer. And now they have since moved into this space. There are, I think, at least three classrooms, and they are in need of resources, funds, specifically for desks, chairs. As you can see, they only have chairs for their studies. So they need office furniture as well. So they've asked for specific resources for that. This is Jeff Evanson. He was a missionary, and he gave a lot of good advice to Daryl on how to make a curriculum for English teaching, language teaching, and so Daryl was able to use those great ideas. However, in September, Jeff passed away unexpectedly while swimming. Passed away, he died unexpectedly. So there's his wife and his family, and they're grieving. So if you could remember to pray for them, the family of Jeff Evanson. Also, there was a talent show at, I think, a very big church, one of the big churches in Phnom Penh, Kenzo. And so, lots of people were invited. There was thousands of people being invited. However, this was the third one, and lots of people were expected, but there was a huge storm that brought a lot of water and flooding. So a lot of people couldn't come. They were happy that hundreds of people showed up. And Kayo and her friend Kami, I don't know, were able to perform. Kayo had given up her music to pursue the missions and to give her life to God, and she thought she would never play the flute again. But God has opened up an opportunity for her to play her flute, to minister to people, and so she praises God for that. It's like she had to pick it up from zero again. So praise the Lord. This was the flood, and this is how Daryl and Benjamin were able to go to the talent show. But it was pretty crazy. So Daryl also is being asked to teach some apologetics, Christian ministry, to students at the Cambodia Bible Institute. So he's preparing his materials for that. He's going to use the two books which he has written about defending Christianity, giving people reasons for their faith. There are many Cambodian Christians who are trying to share the gospel with their coworkers and their family, but many coworkers reject the gospel because they don't believe that God could help them in their situation at work, or that God cares about their life. And so they don't know how to answer their coworkers or their family. And so Daryl is trying to give them answers, responses, resources through the Bible, through this teaching. So he'll be doing that in the coming months as well. Cambodia Bible Institute. Okay, and so that's the update from Cambodia. Please continue to pray for them. In your bulletin, where did I put my bulletin? It's on the inside. And, oh, excuse me, thank you. On the inside cover, bottom left, you'll find a link to Saving Grace World Missions, sgwm.com, and you can find them on that website and have their interviews there. You can contact them as well, get on their mailing list for updates. So please remember our dear friends Daryl, Kayo, and Benjamin in Cambodia. Makiko, if you could come on up.
Thank you, Aaron. First of all, I want to thank you for your prayer and our support. And last time I report about the money I sent last time is about $11,000 that from that money they made a library for the children, for the Casa Niño, also for the community, that the children can go and read the books instead of they going travel to outside. But they had to read the book there, and because they cannot take the books to home. So now they have book at home, and they can study. And also they made our chicken farm, and they growing the chickens. And also they loan the money to the people, and people can invest on their business. And from then they pay interest to back to our Casa de Niño, so they can use the money for the children. And the rest that they left about $15 quetzales, which is about $2,000, and they asked to buy a filter for the water. They dig the well, so they bought the filter. The money $2,000. So now the money that about $11,000 is being all used, and so hope we can send some more for something else investing. And I asked after that I asked for the report for the some more details. What's going on in the Casa de Niño, and they send the report in Spanish. So I asked Fernando to explain it more on the report.
Thank you. I'll try to translate. It's a very detailed report. Makiko has been involved in this project, and to make it more clear, I think is that it's started through the American institution. It's called First Cause, and their objective is to make communities independent and self-reliant communities. And they start with orphanage, and that's the way they collect income for the community and donations. And they choose a Christian institution like a church to be in charge of the ministry of the children. And that's how they... So this church happens to be my father's church, and they were chosen for this project. The American organization gives them some support. So the situation is that they report to Makiko sort some things because we are supporting the church ministry to the children. But they are getting support from the Americans in other ways to make their living, and includes in the project. So Makiko was trying to ask what happened in this part of the project and why is it going in this other part of the project. But they were just reporting to her, like she said, she's supporting the children in their Christian education, because the church is in charge of the Bible study of the children and the Christian instruction to them. But they didn't report everything that was going on besides that. And it's, so she asked, and they sent it really detailed with each cent, how they spend every penny of the money. So it's really detailed, like even nails and wood and everything, because they were worried that she was worried that they were just taking the money. But the thing was that they have to report to everyone separate. And to Makiko's ministry is the children, and like she said, there was the library, and she sent last time the money for that. But they had extra. They are carpenters. Most of them are carpenters, that community. So they made their furniture in the library, and they have extra money. And they in the project, they have this capitalization, they call it. And the church becomes like a loan, and they lend money to people, and they get interest. And with the interest, they were able to give a down payment for a little extra land, extended the land of the orphanage. So now they're paying through that system for that, and they also get donations from different like schools and universities. And somehow they came up with this project. This is what the part that Makiko asked me to translate, because they report to her what other things they're doing. And it's a big project. They decided to start ecotourism type of project. The region is very very rich in nature, but nobody's educated to know what good trees and what the way of taking care of the ground, and it's very rich. It's really a good area for trees, and very species are almost extinct, and they are very in demand because they are so rare. So they decided that they're going to do a park in the property, in the back of the property. They already have the orphanage. They have behind the building, they have a fish farm. There was an American missionary came and they built the fish farm, and they sell fish every 3 months, they say. And then they made a chicken farm. They buy chickens and feed them and then sell them for the market. And that's every 3 months. They buy the chickens, grow them, and in 3 months they sell them. And then another missionary came and built an oven. And now they make bread once a week. And the children sell the bread. And so they have the extra land in the back, and they decided to do the ecotourism. And they just send the report to Makiko. It's very, very extant. And they're going to do a park for education for the community. And the universities and the schools can use it to educate the people in the area to know about their own resources. And that's what their plan is to. And they really send a very detailed report on how they planning to do it. And their goal is to, in 4 years, be completely self-reliant community. And they will not ask for any more support, but they will be able to help people. And they wanted to encourage the area because of what they're doing in the with the resources, the natural resources. There is no electricity. There is no factories. There's nothing there. All they have, the people there, is agriculture and whatever they work in their hands. So if they, that's their goal, to do teaching the people to use the resources. And so the part that they only they send was about like I just said, the chicken farm, and they just sell really detailed expenses. And the last time they sent this report, and after that I talked to my father, and he said that two of the children graduated this year. They were 18 years old already, so they left the orphanage, and they're about to get 8 more children. So in the next report they will give their names and the ages of the new children that are coming to the orphanage. And the church are in charge, the pastor is in charge of them. And the church elders are the association that takes care of the whole project. So it's very difficult to explain exactly what part of Makiko's ministry, but they were kind to send very, very detailed report about each one of their projects. Like I say, and then the last one was a well. They dig a well. A missionary from the United States, he was very kind and lived in Guatemala for many years, and he was with them. And he paid out of his own money for the well. And that's why they didn't report anything of that, because it's separate. But he only paid for the well, and the water came out to be very good water. So they think to sell it, to bottle the water, because the water is really bad in Guatemala. You know, the regular tap water is no good, but the well water is better. So they asked Mexico after the whatever's left of her donation, if they can use it for that work to bottle the water. They had to make some kind of facility. They can drink the water and they can use it, but they cannot sell it. So as a requirement, they need, I guess, some kind of facility. They already have the pump and the filter, but they need now that facility to bottle water and to be able to sell it. And that will be really part of the income. This project sounds really like there are many profitable, very profitable, but they are not. It's really slow income. They can only sell very little. It's a very poor community. I want to thank you for prayers for the earthquake. The earthquake was in Guatemala. I don't know if you realized it was in news. It was very close from there, but it's about 70 kilometers from that orphanage. So there were no damages and anything in there. But the water was really important, so I think they'd be able to sell the water. So if you just continue praying for them, and then because of the church, I think they are praising the Lord for the library, because it's not just for the orphanage, but for the community. And the community appreciated much that, because they didn't know what that project was about. Like I say, the Americans have the project about to make itself reliable project, but the community doesn't only get certain part of the benefit of work. But when it comes to like library, it's for everyone. So they were praising that the church did that for the community. So just going to ask prayers that they God use their ministry, their church ministry in the project to reach the people in the community. And that was the report. And if you want to see the amounts in Quetzales, you had to change it to dollars. And they really detail about that. So they don't want anybody think that they taking the money and misusing them. As I say, to me, it was difficult to explain and to participate, because they were saying to me in Spanish, we cannot report everything because your ministry only supports this part of the project, and the project has so many different branches. So I hope you understand, and Makiko will be receiving more reports. If I can translate, I'll be happy to do so. Please continue praying for the Guatemalan ministry.
Okay, let's spend some time to pray for both Cambodia and for Guatemala. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we believe that you are the creator of heaven and the earth. And Lord, you hold the nations in the palm of your hand. And Lord, whether they are rich nations or poor, Father, you know exactly what's happening in each one. And Lord, we are so happy to be part of your work in the nations. Lord, you came to us and gave us your light, your life, and your love. And Lord, you now send us to the nations to share your light, your love, and your life with those who are in need. Father God, we lift up Cambodia. Lord, so much deception, so many lies, so many other distractions, Father, that are trying to war against the truth. We pray that you would strengthen your workers, give them encouragement, give them wisdom, give them the strategies that they need in order to accomplish your work. We pray for Daryl. We pray for the Trinity Institute of Cambodia. We pray for the Cambodian Bible Institute. We pray for those 12,000 churches that need to be birthed and need to be formed. We pray for pastors. We pray for missionaries. We pray for evangelists. We pray for worship leaders. We pray for Bible teachers. We pray for Christian businessmen, Christian school teachers. We pray that you would raise up people of faith for the people of Cambodia, so that, Lord, those whom you've chosen to be a part of your people in Cambodia will come, Lord God, will hear your voice, will have their lives changed. And Lord, that you will use even the poor nation, the small nation, and the weak country to glorify your name and show the wise how foolish they are and show the strong how weak they really are. Lord, do this for your honor and your glory. Father, we lift up another poor country, Guatemala, Lord. And Lord, we just think of the Casa del Nino, those orphans that you've allowed us to send our resources to. Lord, we send not only our money, we send our prayers, Lord. And we ask you, God, to continue to protect those kids. Lord God, that you would lift them up and you would raise them up, Lord, not only in their lives, but, Lord, in their new life, that they would receive the Holy Spirit through rebirth in Jesus Christ. And that, Lord, through the gospel, many more children would come to be saved. Many more children would come to be servants of the living God. We thank you that you've protected them in the earthquake. We thank you that you're providing resources for them in ministries and in missionaries. And Father, we ask, Lord, as there has been the successful digging of a well, that you've opened up a fountain. But Lord, we pray for the resources necessary to turn that into something useful and profitable that will help not just those orphans, but the community around that orphanage. Lord, your people are working to bless the nations, and we are so thankful to be a part of it. We pray for Makiko as she continues to labor for them. We ask that you would give her wisdom, give her strength, give her encouragement. We pray for more like Makiko, that you would raise us up, Lord God, to give us the causes that we need, not just in Cambodia or Guatemala, but wherever, and show us what it is that we can do, Lord, to appropriate your love in our lives. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Before we go, finally, I want to just share a few things. As a pastor, I feel called to continue to feed us and get us nourished in the Word. So I want to just give you a small word. If you just turn to your bulletins, okay, in Zechariah, right in the front of your bulletin is Zechariah 13. Chapter 13, verse 2. If you have your own Bible, I encourage you to open up by your own Bible to the book of Zechariah. And last week I preached on verse 1, and just briefly I want to go over the great thing that's in verse 2, and would like to read it to you. Let me read from verse 1. On that day, a fountain will be opened to the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem to cleanse them from sin and impurity. Verse 2. On that day, I will banish the names of the idols from the land, and they will be remembered no more, declares the Lord Almighty. I will remove both the prophets and the spirit of impurity from the land. The very words of God. Amen. Last week, I spoke about the fountain, and there's two things that the fountain did for us. First of all, it removed or took away the sentence of sin in our lives. We are offending the God of heaven and earth. Our lives of sin and disobedience and rebellion and hypocrisy have offended God, who is holy and just and right. And we are sinners, and as we stand before him, as Hebrew 9 proclaims, we all have been ordained to live once and then die once and stand before the judge of our lives, who will reward us or sentence us to what we deserve. I believe that God is fair. And God gives us exactly what we deserve. And the Bible says the wages of sin is death. And so exactly what we deserve is death. It is the sentence that we deserve as people who live on this earth, as sinners. But God did something so good to us. He opened up a fountain on the cross of Christ that washes away the sentence of guilt, the sentence of sin on our lives. That's the first thing it did. The second thing it did is it washed away the sense of guilt in our lives. There's the sentence of sin and the sense of guilt. In Japanese, it's the zai-aku-kan. It's that sense, that feeling that I am unholy, that I am a sinner. And for some of us, we need to understand and be told that God is holy. And to offend God is worthy of eternal punishment. But some of us, we already know that. And when we look at ourselves, it's like a gunk, like the sweat that comes right out of our pores. And we know that we need to be washed and cleansed by a fountain. And God has, by his grace, the good news, has given us a fountain, and that is Jesus Christ. Now, when you read a letter, it's very important to take note, first of all, of the date when that letter is being sent. And it says there in verse 1 and in verse 2, on that day. What is that day? Well, if you have read Zechariah in chapter 10 and in chapter 12, it says that there will come a day when we will mourn for the one that we have killed. And we will grieve and sorrow and weep bitterly for that which we've put to death. And we understand later on that that was Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was put to death, even though he was innocent. And so the day that we come to realize that we have offended God, and that offense cost him his very son, and we mourn and we weep bitterly for our sin and our offense before God, that is the day that God washes away the sentence of sin, the sense of guilt, and in verse 2, the source of our guilt and our shame and our sin. So that's what I want to cover today, just real briefly. The source of our guilt is what Zechariah calls the idols. The idols. It talks about the idols there. It says, I will banish the names of the idols. They will be remembered no more. Remove the prophets and the spirit of impurity. Just briefly, the idols literally were those statues, the Asherah poles, the statues to Baal, the temples that they set up, the mini shrines. And you see them, it's familiar to those who live in Japan. You see little idols, or not, like little statues, or you see big ones up on the hill here at Mitaki Temple, or you see shrines as you're coming up on the street, or you could just be riding your bicycle down the street and boom, oh, hey, there's a temple, there's a shrine there. And that's how it was in Israel. Now, Japan, we can give them a pass, because Japan is not a nation that declares that we are God's people, the God of the Bible. Israel said that we are God's people, that we worship the God of heaven and earth and the seas and the universe. We worship him who made it all. And yet they were putting up temples, shrines, little statues, big statues of the gods of everybody else. And they were giving themselves over. And that was the idols of Israel. That was their sin. How about us? What are our idols and our temples and our shrines? Are they these literal statues? I will posit to you this. I'm reading the book of Ezekiel right now. And Ezekiel teaches us something very interesting about idols. The prophet Ezekiel says that idols are something that takes the devotion of your heart. God was trying to get to Israel, and he was trying to love them and capture their heart. But Israel had devoted their, given their heart's devotions to something else. So what does that tell us? The nature of an idol is something that captures our devotion, which is what ultimately belongs to God. It's something other than God that takes our desires, that steals our devotions off of God. Let me give you just a few of them. There's some of us who think, if I could just have the right situation, if I could work and toil and be patient and wait enough just for this right situation, and once I get it, whether it's work, whether it's relationship, I think I'm going to be happy. And our salvation, our practical salvation, is in this right situation. Let me say that that's an idol. Because you and I both know, some of us, we've achieved that situation. We've reached that pinnacle. We've been able to climb that ladder. And you know, and I know, it's an empty ladder. It's a silly situation. And what happens is we've been disappointed. What does Psalm 135 tell us? Or a lot of prophets tell us. These idols, they have eyes, but they don't see. They have ears, but they don't hear. They have mouths, but they can't speak. What does that mean? It means they disappoint. We come to them, and we look for these things that will help us, give us guidance, speak to our situation. And in fact, they can't. They're not made for that, and they disappoint. Am I speaking to anybody today? So a situation, a career, a relationship, that could be an idol. For some of us, it's our families. A family idol. And I'm not talking about some shrine or some butsudan in your room. Some of us think that if I raise my kids right, if I just give and give and give, I'm a good parent, I'm a good mother, I'm a good father, I deserve a certain level of respect. I deserve some level of gratitude. I deserve some kind of praise or stature or status because I've raised my family right. And then what happens? The kids turn out like mine. They're just crazy. Or they go all over and they don't give you what you thought they should be giving you. And they disappoint. And we've made even our families, not just even our kids, but even the ones, our relatives or our mother and our father, and they take a place in our lives that only God can give us. And so that can be an idol because it's taken our devotion off of God and put on our kids, our parents, or whatever. We've got our work, our situation, our family, our faith can be an idol. I'm talking about church, y'all. Now, I'll be careful, okay? But listen to me. Some of us think that if I can be looked upon as the pastor, if I could be looked upon as a worship leader, if I can be seen as a Bible study leader, if I could be seen as the Christian business leader or the Christian teacher or the professor, I'm okay. Or if I'm the Christian parent, if I homeschool, or if I do the Bible devotions every week, or if I'm, giving my kids all the worship CDs that they need, that is what makes me right. And I look down on everybody else because they're not leading Bible study. They're not going to prayer meetings. They're not teaching their kids about the Bible. They're not memorizing the scriptures like I am. And Jesus came and he ministered and he preached and he took down that idol of faith in many people's lives. And he called them Sadducees and Pharisees. People who looked down on everybody else and had pride in their heart because of their faith. And so that could be an idol. So many idols. I was listening to a comedian the other day. Very simple. He said, why do I want this iPhone so badly? Why do I want this iPad so badly? I want salvation. He used the word salvation. Because if I have this one thing, it will make my life interesting. It will make my situation more convenient or comfortable. Let me suggest to you that our biggest idol is ourself. I was listening again to a podcast. They're talking about transcendental meditation. I guess it's popular again. Now, what I've learned when I studied in college and what I read in a few things, that, you know, the transcendental meditation, what you're trying to do is get in touch with you or realize who you are and actualize your potential. And it's about me getting what I need or what I, me reaching my full potential. So I meditate. And I feel, and so, you know, from what I've read, you empty your mind. There's different forms. There's the emptying of the mind when I meditate. And then when I talk to a friend and she practices meditation, and what she says, she likes to fill her mind with light. Or some people that have a mantra and they're saying their mantra over and over. It's a good thing. It's all good or whatever. And they have to fill their mind with that. Do you know that meditation is a Christian thing? Transcendental meditation was along after biblical meditation. What does Psalm chapter 5 talk about? Psalm of David, may the meditation of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. I meditate on the word of the Lord. Read Psalm 19, Psalm 119. It's all about meditating. And what do you do when you meditate? You empty yourself of yourself and you fill yourself not with light, but with the truth of with God's word. And so what did David do? He wasn't trying to, you know, actualize his full potential. He was just actualizing God's potential in him. And so a lot of us think the idol is the statue, the idol is this, that, and the other. It's outside of me. Sometimes the idol is right here. And it's how do we break down this idol? How do we let go of it? How do we get rid of it? We come to God. We come to Zechariah chapter 13, verse 2. God does an amazing thing. Not only does he cleanse your sin, he removes your guilt, he washes you clean, but he puts a new devotion and desire inside of you. He says, I'm going to take away the names of the idols. He's going to make the spirits and the prophets and the teachers of those idols take away. He's going to do it. Some of you have sin in your life. You have teachings in your head. And you're trying to think, how do I get rid of this? Go to God. The fountain will do it for you. Jesus Christ. So I'm going to invite you right now, even as I speak, you come to the cross. And you let the cross, the fountain which has been opened up for you, why say, God, get these desires out of me. I don't even want them. I don't need them. You know they're there. You've surrendered your heart to God, and you surrender again, and you say, God, I hate this part of me. I hate these thoughts. I hate these habits. I'm yours, Lord, and let him consume you. Our Lord, the Lord our God is a consuming fire. And you offer yourself up as a living sacrifice. And you watch those idols, those desires, the want for those things that are less than God get burned away, and Jesus becomes your desire. He becomes your beauty. He becomes your devotion. He becomes everything you needed that those things could never have given you. Not the situation, not the family, not the respect, not the colleagues, not the career. God gives you what those things are. That's why he's so good. Our God is so good. He does all of that. Amen? Okay. I'm going to ask the worship team to come on up, and we're going to pray and then close our service. So, excuse me. While they're getting set up, we're also going to pass the offering bags around. Would I also ask you to put your offerings in there. So, worship team, if you could come up and get us ready. And then would you pray with me, everyone? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you. Before we give our gifts and our offerings, we give to you our hearts, Lord. We offer ourselves up to you as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. And Lord, if it's a situation that we've been searching, if it's a relationship that we think will save us, if it's something that will satisfy us, we confess it to you, God. And we come to the cross and we ask for forgiveness. And we ask not only for you to wipe it clean and wash it away, we ask, Lord God, that you would remove even the names, the desires for those idols, and the devotion to those sins, and give us a new heart. Lord, remove the heart of stone and give us a heart of flesh, Lord God. Let us be born again and be made new as new creations, Lord God. This is our prayer, Lord. And as that happens, we will give to you all that we can, Lord. Our very breath, our very life, and Lord, these gifts that you've bestowed upon us, we will return it back to you, Lord, for your purpose and for your kingdom, for your glory. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.